Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew. And welcome,
of course we are.
Rats. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And today is a real treat. Isn't it a real treat, this one?
Every day is real treat, yeah, when it's a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We've got two fantastic guests. We've got Jimmy Famuera and Joey Page, who are the stars of the JJ's Album Club podcast. So check that podcast out. You're going to love this episode. But before all of that,
you might know Jimmy from MasterChef as well. He's a judge on MasterChef, recurring. It's funny, really. I don't really watch MasterChef, but you do. When you talk to other people, you realise...
What a way to promote him. He's on this show that I don't care for it particularly, but...
But you forget just how... What a juggernaut MasterChef is.
You're not watching it, but everyone else is.
Everyone watches MasterChef.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And when I told my family, I said, oh, my mate Jimmy's on MasterChef. They, lost their minds. They were like, oh, my God, that guy... It's top tier, isn't it, MasterChef?
Yeah.
Top tier.
It's top tier. But we got some top tier gear for you today, guys.
Are you talking about Top Gear?
I'm just trying to shift some gear.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, I forgot. Okay. I was going to plug the next flat, Sam, but Clarky wants to plug his eBay. His eBay account. He's got...
Well, no, he's going to be setting up a stall at the next flat slot. So come for the podcast, stay for some top gear.
It's going to be quite tricky for him to set up a trestle table because it's over Zoom. So you will have to do it on a promise. But yeah, the next flat slam. We've been having so much fun doing these flat slams over Zoom. If you've not been to one, you really should. They're great fun. You buy a ticket and you can watch it on your computer over YouTube. And the next one is on February 16th. With two amazing guests, Carrie Ad Lloyd and Angela Barnes. It's going to be fun.
Oh, my God.
Yes, please.
Really, really excited about those bookings. Two absolute stone cold legends.
Yep, they've been on the podcast before. They've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed them. It's been great fun. It's great to have them back. I'm not sure why I opened with they enjoyed it. We're getting a lot of emails recently from previous guests.
Sounds like they didn't enjoy it. Really, really didn't sound like they enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it. No, they enjoyed it.
Anyway, if you want to enjoy it as much as Carrie Ad and Angela enjoyed their previous appearances, then get to eventbrite.co.uk, eventbrite.co.uk, and search for Pappy's Flat Share. And it'll also be on our Twitter at Pappy's Tweet. There'll be a link on our Instagram at Pappy's Comedy, all of that kind of stuff. It'll all be up there. Get your tickets today.
And it'll finish at about 9:30, quick 10 minutes, and then back onto Zoom for Clarky's Bring and Buy.
The old bric-a-brac sale will be happening, yeah. We've had an email, by the way, about the house meeting. By the way, I don't think anything we've talked about on a house meeting has inspired people as much as, you'll find out. Parry, you've got the email there.
Peanut from Patrick via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. It's the peanutting saga continues.
Peanutting that refuses to die.
Hello, mates. I'm 19 and went to an academy. 19!
No, 19.
We've still got it, guys.
Yes.
We've still got it. Patrick is 19 and listening away. I'm 19 and went to an academy that at the time was trying its hardest to improve its less than stellar reputation in the town and realistically, the whole county. One of the ways it was attempting to do this was with a flashy image, new Star Trek-esque logo and a smart uniform with proper tie.
Here we go.
The upshot of this was that peanutting was a pretty big problem.
Peanutting's
when
come
I was
to
in
town.
Year 9... Oh, God. When I was in year nine, a friend of mine was peanutted so hard that it took a total of four people, two pens, one was snapped in the knot, and a 50p piece, 20 minutes to finally get it
Can we do that? That is a legendary
peanut.
Can any
call the fire department?
Can anybody beat that peanutting? We get in touch. pappysflatshare@gmail.com. We want to hear. We might have to do a separate peanutting podcast. Okay.
Maybe we add it to our monthly roster. We've got the house meeting where the three of us shoot the shit. We've got the Beef Brothers cold cuts where we have a brilliant guest and we solve your problems. We've got Flatshare Slamdown, the tremendous game show. And we also have Pappy's Peanutting. Where Pappy's Peanut Flatshare
Slamdown. Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. Any more peanutting stories, we'll gratefully receive them. Pappy'sFlatshare@gmail.com. Get in touch with your peanutting stories.
Can I there's a bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Admittedly, this issue didn't seem like a priority for the school at the time, as they were too busy dealing with reports that one boy in my year had been seen jumping on cars two streets away from the gates. I've been listening to the podcast since I was 13, and you've brought me a hell of a lot of joy over these last 6 years, and especially this last one, as you've accompanied me on my allocated exercise time and helped me forget how grim it all is. Thank you. Lots of love and stay safe, Patrick.
Patrick. Lots of love to you, Patrick, and lots of love to your mate who was peanutted. I hope they're okay. I hope they've recovered. That's the sort of stuff you'll be talking about in therapy in years to come. You've got, you know, post-traumatic peanutting disorder. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to get in touch, it's pappysflatshare@gmail.com. If you'd like to get in touch with a beef, by the way, we need some more beefs for our next episode. With the well's running a little dry. We love a beef. Get in touch. The beef well.
We've got to stop storing our beefs in a well.
I'm going to tell you now, if it wasn't so empty, it would absolutely stink. But
you do know that's not what well done means. You do know that, don't you?
I did make a wish as I was throwing the beefs in, though. The email is beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Any problems you've got with your flatmate, with your neighbour, with your partner, with your kids, anything at all, don't surprise us and tell us, actually, they're a cat. Those are getting discounted. But apart from that, anything else is welcome, as you'll find out as you hear this episode. It was a really fun one. I love chatting to Jimmy and Joey. Oh, yeah. It was great.
It was brilliant.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from a sorting out your beef.
Are you drinking, Jimmy? I should have got a drink.
Yeah. It's weird. It was like I thought about a lie then.
Well, yeah. I mean, you brought a beer up to your mouth.
Oh, God. My camera's on.
Yeah.
I am having a drink. Yeah.
But you said it in a way that, like, I mean, I don't know what your dynamic is, but it's like Joey said it like it was your sponsor, like he was your sponsor. And you were like, yeah, I've let myself down here.
No, because Jimmy's always like, oh, I'm not drinking this week for some reason or another. There's always some reason why Jimmy's not drinking. It's like, I'm taking a break.
I'm surprised
under no duress that you are drinking at home.
There was the hint of like betrayal there, wasn't there?
It was.
Like, you didn't tell me we were drinking, that this was a drinking podcast.
If you want to go get a drink, mate. I mean, I've got a water and a decaf coffee. Mm. Not really,
I've got
you
water
know.
As well.
Yeah. If you want to go and get a drink, Joey, before we get started, you know, don't. There's no rules here.
I don't want to hold it up.
You're not going to hold it up. Go and get a drink, for goodness sake.
I'll go and get a drink.
Go and get yourself a drink, because I can tell as well.
I thought he was going to say, I don't need a drink. But what he said was, I don't want to hold you up. Yeah. Like, he really needs
just
a drink.
Just been like, Clarky's gone as well. Clarky's off now.
Clarky's got the thirst.
Clarky's got the off license.
What have I started? Yeah.
He's off. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, with those two gone, now we can focus on the show. Jimmy, thanks for coming on, by the way.
Oh, no worries. Thanks
great.
So much for
great to have you. Great to have you on.
Crash.
It's very, very, very kind of you. What are you drinking, by the way?
An ale thing, a brew dog.
Oh, I love a brew dog. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're good. They're good.
It's quite an emotional week for me this week, guys, because the new series of Best Home Cooks is coming out, and I've been replaced as voiceover.
No! Oh, no! Oh, sorry, do you mind if I go and get a drink? Because I've just had some quite bad news. I'm going to put... Oh, God, Barry's neck in a bottle of wine.
Do you know what? What? Come on. What happened? How did you find out?
I mean, I was just waiting for the gig to come in. They'd announced the series, and I thought, well, they'll get in touch pretty soon. Then they didn't get in touch. I kind of left it a little bit, and then I thought, oh, it's happened, hasn't it? And then my voiceover agent got in touch and said, well, because they're doing a celebrity series, maybe they're just going to go a different way just for that series, and then when they start again, normal. So I thought, oh, maybe they've got a celebrity into the voiceover, and then the first clip came out yesterday, and it's just...
Some person.
The really upsetting thing is it's just a guy with more gravitas than me. Like, he's really good.
Yes. Sorry. I got the gig, mate.
We're looking for someone who's a bit more regional, you know. Someone who's slightly more wolves.
I sound less wolves, but I wear the shirt, so I...
He's more northern than me, this guy, and he's about 10 years older, I reckon.
Oh, right.
He just gives him that extra clout.
Got a bit more on him, a bit more about him. Oh, that's bullshit, though. You were, like, really good.
I felt quite emotional about it, to be honest.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Sorry, dude.
Do you want us to go around and beat him up? This is the cook's thing, yeah. Joey's.
Oh, that's shit. I kind of got the gist of it now.
Joe is the person that you want on sort of for something like this, the consulting.
Well, what
they're
arseholes,
mate. Do you want me to like abuse them online?
I need Jimmy's route in to the TV cookery world. But Joey's muscle wants you there, so I'm looking for the pair of you. I'm waiting for like, Jimmy. You need to get the next kind of foodie gathering that they're at. You got to kind of get Joey in there and get him to give Mary Berry what for. That's what's going to happen.
I think I'd be good in a sort of like behind the scenes role. Where when Mary Berry comes off, I just absolutely shout straight in her face about what she hasn't done right. You give her a good old.
Did you say shart in her face? I genuinely thought you said shart in her face.
I'm going to shart in Mary Berry's face.
I mean, I know
she's a national treasure, mate.
I know you've got a South London accent, but you went positively cartoonish there, Joey.
What happened was I kind of forgot about halfway through that we actually recorded this for a purpose and thought I'm kind of playing up to this character that. Now everyone's going to think I'm actually like that. So I didn't really know what to say. I thought, well, I've started saying it now. I'll just carry on.
Shart in her face.
Yeah. I just found out why you didn't get that gig. Yeah.
It's such a potent image.
Stop sharting at me.
Yeah. Guys, he's from South London, but he says shouting with a northern accent.
do you think it's because you've been interviewing the Sleaford Mods you've picked up that kind of...
Maybe it is.
Sharting Mary Berry's face.
Oh, wow.
I think even the Slee Mods would draw the line at sharting in Mary Berry's face.
Yeah.
It's a hell of an album title.
Yeah. It's not going to fly off the shelves, is it?
It's going to fly out of Joey, though.
How do we pick up from there? Well, thanks for being on the show, both of you. Joey, we've heard enough from you. Let's talk to Jimmy for a second. We've heard too much of anything. I'm tempted to mute him after that. What kind of a person are you to live with, Jimmy?
Oh, God, what kind of a person am I to live with? It's been so long, and in terms of house shares and stuff. I think I'm pretty good.
Who do you live with at the moment, or do you live on your
my
own?
My wife and my kids and
well,
the
that
cat.
Is, that That's is a house share as far as we're concerned.
That is a house share, you're right.
What would your wife say if we asked you... asked her what you're like to live with.
Oh, mate, don't ask her today. In the midst of a pandemic with homeschooling, looming, I think I'm all right. I'm pretty, you know, we could all be better, couldn't we? We could all, you know, particularly at the moment. But, I think I'm okay. I sort of, I tried to, you know, you tried to sort of sense if somebody is needing a break, and generally that kind of pertains to the kids in our house and stuff like that, and you sort of try to like anticipate, oh my god, I'll help out, I'll do that. But I could definitely be better.
How is homeschooling going? I want to know about this, because my daughter's too young, but
I was thinking about this earlier, and I think we probably all, like all of us, even if you haven't got kids, you harbour visions of you being like this cool teacher, a bit Dead Poet Society or something like that.
I would be
such a great teacher.
I mean, they're standing on the tables, but for the wrong reasons.
Who's Mr. Famarewa? That's my dad's name. Call me Jimmy. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of kind of vibe.
Can I not just call you dad?
Why are you doing that? Why holding a blackboard in here? And why are you sort of pretending this is a school? I think that what you sort of learn is that, I don't know, maybe you lack the patience that you would sort of hope you had. And also, it's weird because you're sort of teaching a tiny version of yourself. And so things that you recognise in yourself that like, oh God, I can't be bothered. This is like too hard. I don't want to do it. And so it's kind of weird. It's kind of like two versions of you pitted against each other.
Are you not tempted to give him a break at that point? Be like,
I think so.
Take the day
off.
I would have loved that.
But I think it's been all right. And it is quite good, even though it's quite stressful. And I should massively caveat this with the fact that I'm not doing as much of it as my wife, who's bearing the brunt of it.
Right.
But
sure.
But I'm steaming in and sort of taking all the credit and stuff like that. But what I've found is that it is really good when you feel like they get something and you get it at the same time, you're sort of in it together. It sort of feels like you've got the work as well, like you're sort of kind of finding a way through it together. And you're sort of always catching yourself like, oh God, maths. I mean, maths is great, isn't it? We love maths. Maths is brilliant. You're really good at maths. Dylan's 7. So he's the only one doing homeschooling. And Remy, the youngest, is 4. He's in nursery at the moment. But yeah, so it's mainly Dylan.
Because I'd be worried, like a 7-year-old's work, there's going to be some subjects where I'm not at a 7-year-old level.
Yeah.
I'm at a 6-year-old level.
Yeah.
So, and I think maths would be one of them.
Oh, God. Yeah, the maths, like where you're kind of trying to work it out. Like, you know, it's quite interesting because I start off and I'm like, hey, let's do this. All right, let's cross some maths. And then, like, I'm like, oh, God, maths is terrible. Like, this is really tough. I mean, yeah, anyway, yeah, we can do this. Like, trying to keep that mask of positivity on, but just, like, just desperately wanting it to be over as well.
We were talking the other day about, like, it must be so hard to teach anything now. Like, because, obviously, we all got taught before the internet when you kind of had to learn things. And it's like, no, you just don't have to learn anything.
Yeah.
And surely homeschool is lifting the lid off this. Like, this is the year where everyone goes, hang on. Because you literally don't need any of that anymore. You just need to know how to Google it. Surely.
And he'll be, Dylan will be like typing stuff in and it's like autocomplete and like, you know, it's just like kind of spelling things out for him. And he'll just like, it's got wise to it. And yeah, it does feel
autocomplete's really good on sums, isn't it? 74 plus 33. I've done it.
But literally, you can Google stuff like, you know, you're right. You can Google everything. And it's like, it does feel like the kind of, he's just getting wise to, like, the jig is up, basically, in terms of, like, you don't need to know any of this stuff. And you're just kind of trying to just, like, keep this facade up. Like, oh, no, these fractions are definitely important. but yeah, it's been, God, it's been all right. It's been, it is good to have that enforced pause and just be like, right, we are just going to do this school project about the Pied Piper of Hamelin for the next hour, and it sort of takes, you know, forces you to be in it and stuff. Obviously, drama and things like that are massively just being over the top. And he's like, "Yeah, can you dial it down a bit, please?"
I thought that was the, like, I thought when you said we're going to do this, I thought that was like you were going to say, "So I play a little pipe, I run out into the garden, I run back in the house, and I shut the door, and then I let them just, you know, burn off all their energy outside."
Yeah,
like the poor little kid who didn't make it into the mountain in time, just banging on the door. "Let me in, let me in." "No, you're learning a lesson, son."
Isn't this really bringing the story to life for you?
Paige, you're on the flip side, aren't you? You've got no kids, no pets. So what are your... Are you like homeschooling yourself?
I would like to just put forward my case that I am actually a delightful housemate. That's one thing I'd like to say. Not I do sure most of the cooking. Believe you.
Really?
I'm always coming up with fun little like things to do.
Pied Piper.
Like me and Yanina, my wife, we have sometimes like just a little sort of like, we haven't done it for a while. We had like little theme nights where it's like, we'll just pretend we've gone on a trip. So we had like Las Vegas in our living room one night. Another night we did like a medieval banquet. It's just us two. It's been quite fun.
Talk us through the details of the medieval banquet. That sounds amazing.
So the medieval banquet, Yanina's not a great cook, and did sort
is
of like
shot?
A tomato.
Joey was looking around the way
yeah,
when he said
he
that.
He really was. Yeah, yeah. And did you notice when I was kind of going on about how much I do and homeschooling, I was just like, "Can I just lower my voice a bit, please?" Just in case hears me. Comes in and swiftly corrects it. Like, yeah. But yeah, go on.
No, there was it was a tin of Vines tomato soup as a starter and a bread roll.
Right.
And then it was a steak and ale pie with some new potatoes. It's like a medieval kind of...
Sure, yeah.
But managed to burn the pie. Let's go in the oven and come out again.
I bet they did, though, a lot in the medieval times.
Yeah. Nothing more medieval than a burnt pie. Nothing more medieval than a burnt pie.
Joe, I feel you're sort of burying the lead in terms of one of the best things that you've done throughout this kind of fantasy night thing, where you came to me and were like, "How do I do a foam party?"
Oh, that was a different night, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I did a sort of like 1830s kind of themed kind of holiday thing where we had a picnic. Did you have to leave the house? No, it's basically... Yeah,
it's 18 to 30 nights, so we're not allowed downstairs. Just imagine all the young people are at it.
Jimmy's kids have come over.
You ruled yourself out of your own night.
Oh, God. But yeah, I thought... So we had like a kind of like beach picnic. So I put like... On the TV, I just YouTubed like a sort of 10-hour, like the sea at night video. Had that on.
Oh, nice.
That's made great. Like a little picnic. And then I was like, and then like the boat is taking us like island. We're going to this other island where there's a foam party. And I tried to recreate a foam party with two big dustbins in my shower. Just filled them up with like three bottles of bubbles. But it didn't accumulate. So we got like one, I put a strobe light on in there and got a good picture with some sweatbands on and then called it a night.
So what were you planning to do? You were going to take these dustbins down and just stand in the dustbins and dance?
No, they were just going to be full of foam.
Like Samuel Beckett.
If
Samuel Beckett was in Ibiza.
I've been pretty bored.
It sounds like you've put more effort into your theme nights than Jimmy's put into homeschooling. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought he was going to say than into one of my Edinburgh shows.
Right, well, should we get on and start solving people's beefs? Parry, do you want to do yours first of all?
Oh, yes, please. Quickfire beefs from Matt via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, guys.
Get in touch. Yes.
Dear Matthew, Tom, Ben, Corsham, and esteemed guests. It's always nice when they recognise the guests.
Oh, that's good.
That is nice.
You're seen, guys. Okay. Matt writes, recently in the shows you have been discussing your youngest listeners, and whilst that no longer applies to me, brackets, I'm 25, I think there is a more significant area of listenership. Those who have been listening since the bangers and mash days, the early days, since 2011, when I was 14, you have been an almost constant in my ear canal. influencing my humour and outlook for over 9 years.
We've been homeschooling him.
With a little absolutely home tutor in the ears.
Gosh. Wow. I feel sorry for poor Matt, but nevertheless. And it's also, I'm a big fan of someone who starts their beef by just talking about us for a bit. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, maybe we're his
beef. They know how to get them read out, didn't they? Like, really.
Here's my beef. I've never liked you guys.
I gave you a chance. That
I've persevered.
I've given you 10 years.
You're not my cup of tea. So he says, whilst I'm sure that those just finding you guys now will binge listen to all episodes they can find, there is something to be said for the drip feeding of nonsense in your formative years. Suffice to say, even I don't get a lot of your references, but it has been a fantastic journey so far. Thanks
for
very
sticking
much
with us.
Oh, Matt, that's warmed the cockles. I have some quickfire beefs that need resolving in my house. Currently, I am a PhD student, which means I get to live in the perfect balance of being a student while simultaneously getting paid. Oh my God, he's living the dream!
Our little boy's all grown up.
I was so proud. So
you
proud.
Did that. You did that. That's all the homeschooling you've done.
It's fantastic.
Daddies are so proud.
The P in PhD stands for pappies.
Can we go to his graduation ceremony and get a picture with him?
Yeah.
Too much?
I think we have to. No, absolutely. Hopefully, the PhDs last a long time, so lockdown hopefully will be over by then, but I'd love to. Yeah. Matt, get back in touch. Tell us when you're graduating. We'll come along. We'll wear those mortarboards. Are you allowed to?
I can drive you if you like, then you can all have a drink.
That's exactly what we wanted to hear.
Get those soapy dustbins out the back of the car. Have a pie.
He's Jimmy's sponsor, but he's our enabler, apparently.
Okay, so he's a professional student. I've been living with two friends in the same house for 2 years, and whilst we all get on really well, there are small things that 2 years in are starting to grate.
Yes.
Brilliant. This is our territory, guys. Mm. Firstly, I believe people who leave a soggy, wet sponge in the sink is one of the most disgusting things in the world to touch in the morning.
Right.
Secondly, if you need to use the washing machine with someone else's clothes are in it, you should hang their clothes up rather than just dumping them, sopping wet, into a bag to fester. Thirdly, it's lockdown. It's okay for me to have a beer or Negroni on a Tuesday night. We're hearing that, Matt. Finally, if someone is watching something or playing PS4 on the TV in the living room, don't play audio loudly from your phone or laptop. Hopefully, there is little debate about these. This feels like Matt's using us as a public service announcement.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to really play this podcast in the lounge and then leave the house for half an hour.
Yeah.
He's going to wait till someone's playing the PS4.
So hopefully there is little to debate about these, but it'd be great for some final impartial judgment. Many thanks, and one day I'll make it to a live show, I promise. Oh, Matt, you've got to. Oh.
Mate, no, Matt, we're going to do a live show at your graduation. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, if Matt hasn't been in 9 years, he ain't coming.
It is weird. He says, I've been a fan of yours since 2011, and one day eventually I'll get around to seeing you.
I have been busy.
When's the next one? Can't do that.
The last time we performed at a graduation, it was Jerry Page when he asked us to help him get his degree at university. Do you remember that?
We're not allowed to talk about that in case they come after me and ask the certificate back.
That was great.
You were shot in their face, weren't you? Four things to deal with, and I think any other students listening or anyone who was a student will absolutely understand these gripes. There's a smell coming off this email. You can smell the house, can't you?
It takes you back.
The whiff of the student lifestyle.
Oh, it's a musty
the
mouldy
smell. Clothes, oh. The soggy sponge, the Tuesday night beer. Oh God, take me back.
It's pure.
God, I miss it.
You love the smell of mildew. You can't smell mildew without getting nostalgic for better days. Oh,
I love the smell of mildew in the morning.
The listener at home can't see this, but Parry is wearing a University of Kent jumper.
He is.
Like, he's still wearing his old university jumper. And by the way, that looks like you've bought that. That's That's not one from back in the day, is it?
Yeah,
that's one
box fresh.
Did a gig on campus a year and a half ago. Bought myself some new merch. Bought
it. That's amazing. A little re-up on the merch.
It's really, really comfy stuff, honestly.
The most embarrassing thing was he gigged in the jumper as well. He was like, right, kids, right? I'm just a cool fresher, just like you guys. Yeah, I mean, I look like I'm 40. I look like I'm 40, just had a tough paper round. I'm 18. Come on, check me out. Where are we going afterwards?
Check me out.
What about those PlayStation 2, eh, guys?
Okay, team, I'm going to quick fire through these. I want you to just very quickly hop on board with whether you think it's disgusting or acceptable. Wet sponges left in the sink.
It's
acceptable or disgusting?
Disgusting.
Clarky? Disgusting. Paige?
Give it a quick blast with a hot tap. It'll be fine. It's not a problem.
Ooh, crossbow.
I'm going to say disgusting, but not a problem.
Jimmy?
I think acceptable. Acceptable. Yeah, I think, why does he touch it? Like, he's like, oh, yeah. And then you touch it with your hands. Like, why? Like, you
don't
know, yeah,
it.
Like
Joe said,
give it a rinse.
So I'm afraid, so we're chucking that one out. That one's getting thrown out of court straight away. One count, not guilty. Second count, if you need to use the washing machine, but someone's clothes are in it, you should hang their clothes up for them rather than just dumping them sopping wet in a bag to fester.
I'm calling bullshit immediately on this one.
Okay, this one.
Crossbow.
I'm gagging to dive into this. Right.
Crossbow.
Absolutely not.
You don't hang up someone's clothes for them if they've left them in the washing machine.
No, if they've left them in the washing machine. Know how long the cycle is and hang your clothes up. Don't leave them in the washing machine.
Yeah. I feel like there's a real tell in like Matt, who is written in, is like, you know, don't just leave them festering. Like, that's on you for leaving your clothes in the washing machine and not sorting yourself out. And you're like,
why haven't you
hung them out for me, you monster? Absolutely outrageous.
Clarkie.
Next.
Listen, I'm going to say that they should hang them up. And the reason for this is I never got a chance to go to a graduation. And Matt is my last chance. So if we...
You're going to hop up on stage with him? Yeah. Grab the tube.
I'm going to bring my own mortarboard.
Paige, how do you feel about washing machine?
Well, now I know that there's a party and I'm just desperate to get out. I don't know you, Matt, but if it means I'll get an invitation, then I'm going with Clarkie. But otherwise...
Awful.
Everyone's at home already. Just, who's so far away they can't hang their washing up?
Yeah, 3-2.
Stick it in the bag for
out.
10 minutes.
Not guilty on that second count, Matt. It is not looking good for you. Thirdly, it's lockdown. It's okay for me to have a beer or Negroni on a Tuesday night. Should you let your housemate drink whenever they want?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not a court in the world there.
Yeah, I think we all feel that way, right?
Let him drink
whenever he wants. So, yeah, okay, we'll uphold that one. This is the final one. If someone is watching something or playing PS4 on the TV in the living room, don't play audio loudly from your phone or laptop. So Matt's already shanghaied the telly in the lounge. He wants everyone else to be silent around him whilst he does his bidding. How do you feel about that, Paige?
There's headphones, though, aren't there?
There's so headphones, though.
If you're there first, if you want the telly that much and you've got in there early, someone else comes in, just pop in a pair of headphones.
Matt doesn't know he's born. I lived for 2 years at university with a guy called Greg, who was an amateur DJ, and he set up his decks in the front room next to the telly. So 4 nights a week, he'd come in pissed and just start DJing. Didn't have headphones in. We'd just DJ. So in the middle of a film, he'd just come and just start crouching in the corner.
This one goes out to all the people watching Shrek.
Absolutely. Honestly.
All the people in the back, let's see
you. Oh, God. I'm imagining like you're watching like Schindler's List or something. Eyes rimming with tears, and in he comes. Like,
wait for the drop.
With a bit of Detroit techno. Fucking hell. So actually, maybe I do sympathise a bit with Matt on this one. But Clarkie, how do you feel?
Yeah, I'm with Matt on this one. I think whoever's in the room first doing what they're doing thinks it's a bit rude to come in and usurp that. I think that's fine.
Jim?
Yeah, I think headphones is a good shout, but there is a specific annoyance of you know, just hearing little snippets of videos and like someone's going through Instagram stories or something.
Yeah,
and it's just a little and I can, there's something quite acute about that, isn't there? And sort of I can imagine why that's annoying, but just need to communicate, guys. Headphones for someone. We just like send him some headphones. Surely we can sort of out send someone.
You just can't communicate, guys, by wearing headphones and not speaking
and ignoring each other.
Yeah, you young people like silent discos. It's like that. It's all the time.
That's what you're organising tonight, isn't it? You've got to nip away because you're doing it for your wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just climb in this bin. Why does he keep trying to get us to get in a foamy bin? Oscar
and your
the Grouch.
Got a choice. She can either listen to herself DJ or you DJ. Crossbow, take us home.
I am going to say, yeah, absolutely, absolutely unacceptable. If you're watching the telly and someone comes in and starts, you know, playing music out of their phone, firstly, that's a mad thing to do. But secondly, it's incredibly rude. And also, isn't one of the great joys of being in a student house the fact that you can just sit in your own room on your own watching something on your laptop? You know, just go and... You know,
that's the true meaning of university years, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, it's the true
go
meaning.
Go to uni, experience it, sit in your room, watch things on your laptop.
Yes, watch exactly. loads of things on your laptop, like and that's why you need to get the washing machine back on a bit live.
Okay, Matt, we hope that helped. Two upheld, two thrown out. Enjoy the rest of your PhD. Can't wait for your graduation.
Yeah.
And
can't wait for you to turn up at one of their gigs, Matt.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cake decorator beef from Martha. Ooh. Via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Get in touch.
Dear Pappies, I'm a cake decorator and have been working from home since before it was cool. Lovely stuff. I work from our home kitchen mainly during the hours my kids are at school. Our kitchen is both my workspace and a family kitchen. There is very little demarcation and I have to clean and sanitise it every workday to get it to the standard that keeps both hair out of the food and my 5-star rating. It's not a huge amount, but it is a ball ache, and I have to waste a good 40 minutes of those precious, precious hours between drop-off and pick-up, clearing surfaces in order to then clean, in order to then work. To add to this, there is also a blurred line between work and the family meal prep, as towards the end of the day, I sometimes have to be doing both simultaneously at either end of the kitchen. This results in a pile of things waiting for the washing up that can be both cake tins and bean tins, icing nozzles, and leftover potato waffles. Little shout out for potato waffles there. The greatest of foodstuffs.
Yeah, it's quite weird that she's washing them up, though.
Yeah, no,
I'd say if they're left over, either just stick them in the Tupperware or chuck them in the bin. I wouldn't try and breathe new life into them by putting some suds on them.
No, you could normally get about 3 goes out of potato waffles if you wash them. If you wash them right, get all the bean juice off.
Couple of quick things there. Number one, great plug for a 5-star review.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, has she given her name? Because we could give her a proper shout out. Has she given her like the name of her company?
I don't think she has. Maybe she has.
Also, I wasn't expecting in that whole correspondence the word ball ache to be used.
No, it was nice. Lovely little surprise drop of the old ball ache there. Right,
the ball
I'll
ache
press
just
on.
Dropped.
My problem is that my family assumes that the kitchen tidying can be completely left up to me, regardless of what the mess actually is. They are all of an age where they are perfectly capable of cleaning up after themselves. I'm laughing slightly because I'm like, did this come from my wife? They do other jobs around the house like hoovering, but it feels easier to just do it myself in my own time, even if that means I feel like I never leave that sodding room from dawn to dusk. Do you have any ideas of hard and fast rules I can put in place so my family stop living like we're in an episode of Mad Men where I'm the one in the apron and never get to be sexy like Joan? Okay. Yours faithfully in anticipation of your superior verdict, Martha.
Great. Right. Thank you, Martha. There's an interesting bit there. There's a bit where she says that she just does it anyway because it's easier. She almost sort of slips up and goes, look, I could ask them to do it, but they'll make a hash of it.
Yes,
I just do it anyway because it's easier, but it is taking me a lot of time. There's a bit of a kind of like, it's interesting with Martha because obviously she wants the help, but at the same time that's her workspace, you know, like if you know, back in the day when people had real jobs, not us, we've never had real jobs, but back in the day when people had real jobs, they wouldn't really want their kids to come in and tidy up the office or whatever. You know, or you know, so it's quite a weird thing. Like she says, there's that demarcation doesn't exist.
So
she almost is like, well, I've got to clean to a professional standard, so I've got to do it.
It's quite satisfying that you got a kitchen based
food kitchen
there.
One
to have a MasterChef judge.
Oh yes,
giving a bit of professional insight.
Yeah,
Does Greg Wallace and John T. Rhodes clean up the MasterChef kitchen? do they have a good scrub?
Imagine
down
that.
Finished?
Imagine that.
I can almost see Greg Wallace doing the washing up into the early hours.
That is a show I'd actually, you know, like something they'll have like afterwards, you know, if you want to see more, press the red button for some extra,
the
extra
after
show. Yeah, the after, exactly. If it was just Greg and John Turode pottering around the kitchen, maybe they've had a couple of glasses. You know that thing you do after a dinner party, you get a bit get a bit extra squiffy, you know, you pop on the Steely Dan.
Cranking the radio up and singing like it's all Christmas Day type.
I'd love to watch
filling two bins with suds. Let's go, guys.
MasterChef washing up. That's the show.
Yes.
It's a great idea.
It's the after show. Yeah. Great.
It's what was that Scandinavian like slow TV or whatever, where it's like trains leaving the station or whatever, just that for 3 hours on the red button.
Just
Greg and John cleaning up.
Pissed men cleaning up. I'd watch it, man.
I would watch that. Yeah.
Here's the thing, the bin full of suds though. This might have unlocked something. Right? I've just, when you said that, Clark,
we're the front runners.
Exactly.
Husband and wives.
So obviously you keep your kitchen clean, but you know, sometimes you'll go to I'm trying to think of where this might happen. If there was a place where lots and lots of people were eating at the same time, like a big hall where lots of people are eating at the same time, they'll often have like a big soapy pot that you chuck your stuff in. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe that's what she needs to do. Maybe that's what Martha needs to do, is fill up a thing and say, look, all of your stuff goes in there. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't go in my kitchen because it's work time now. So if you finish your breakfast bowl, you don't just stick it in the kitchen and expect me to wash it up before I start on the cupcakes. You stick it in this big sudsy bin that at the end of the day you've got to get inside and pull all the stuff out of. I mean, I haven't thought the next bit of it through. I'm
not bad.
But you know what, like some sort of thing that is some sort of receptacle that isn't
To sort of
at least
to separate
it's contained
it.
As well.
It's
isn't
contained,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. It's cheaper than the option that I had in mind, which was build another kitchen.
If you've got a spare few grand knocking around, just have an adjunct, a little extension added onto your house with a kitchen.
Splash the cash from all that 5-star ratings.
I know,
Am I right?
Yeah.
I tell you what was interesting for me was when she said the kids, they're happy to do the hoovering and stuff, but they don't do the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was a kid, the hoovering was the worst chore for me. I remember it being the worst hand dealt was when you were asked to hoover. Mm. Whereas I'd absolutely take washing up and drying up.
Washing
always felt like
up
a bit of fun.
It's great.
You're playing washing with adult
great.
Things.
Yeah.
For me, the
hoovering
worst job,
like a chore.
The worst job on the rota for me was getting the moss off the roof. Because that was, you know, you have to jimmy up the drain pipe yourself. Often it would be, you know, it'd be windy and rainy, and there'd be lightning and stuff, and you know those slates on the roof were pretty slippy. So that was always the one for me. I come from a family of about 15 or 16, but we lost most of them. We're down to four now.
What about sweeping the chimney? I thought that was your worst.
Great for a little lad. Perfect for me. I could.
You go.
Absolutely. Why do you think I grew my hair so long?
You were the brush.
I was the brush, exactly. My brother Luke would boot me up the arse. I'd go straight up. I'd spin my head, and then I'd come back down, shake off the soot into a bag.
Quick rendition of Step in Time.
Exactly. Then I'd draw some chalk on the pavement outside. Jump into it. Have an adventure. It was great.
Jimmy, you've got kids. You've got like yes. The largest family here.
No, there's
what's
there's
the tactic definite... with washing up in your house?
Is there well, a motor? Oh God, there's a low bar because they are still quite young, but we do try to be like, you've got to like put your plate on the side. Yeah, there's a tiny bar.
The low bar's and for you kids.
If they want, if they want drinks, they need to clean. You earn your Negronis in this house. And they love drinking. Love it.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Oh, little faces and they have to like put their plate, like when they're done, put it on the side. That's a big thing. It's like put it on the side, and it's quite minimal effort, but we feel like we're like patting ourselves on the back that they have to do anything. But with Martha it is tricky because clearly she's got these exacting standards, like because of her business. And I do wonder if something like the soapy bin, some sort of split, some sort of like...
I can't believe I'm getting away with soapy bin.
Soapy
even as
bin,
I started
mate.
Explaining it, I was
soapy
like, this is not going
to
fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh,
soapy's backing me on the soapy bin.
To justify the soapy
two
bin.
Two options so
big
far.
Soapy bin.
Soapy bin and new kitchen. They're the two options.
Two
we're
really
not helping
strong
Martha.
Options. Two really strong options.
I've got a suggestion. Everyone in the house gets their own colour of things, so everyone gets like there's two yellow plates, two yellow mugs, two yellow bowls, and they go to one person.
You all had one color each that you'd wear on stage.
Yeah, exactly.
When
like
we first started
when
out,
we first
yeah,
started out like all sketch teams, we all dressed alike. So yeah, so treat
one
your
color each.
Yeah, treat your family like an improv team.
Yeah, and then, so there's red bowls, there's yellow bowls, there's green bowls, and then everyone knows exactly whose is what thing.
There's bowl lake.
And then you can do some kind of trading where it's like, okay, you're doing green and yellow today. You know, I'll do reds on Wednesday or whatever it is. And then like you kind of you know who's leaving what where.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I want to say no, but I have to yes and this since we're.
Thanks, Blue Ben. Okay. So
listen, he told you about his depression and confidence, all right?
I've got blue ball ache.
So, I mean, are we going to solve... What
colour-coded plates, new kitchen, big soapy bin.
Soapy bin.
There's three strong
I'm sticking my big soapy bin. I think there's something
to be
said.
It feels like big soapy bin's been the most convincing argument.
I want to move over to big soapy bin, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Big soapy bin.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Who can believe
Beef
it?
Beef solved. You're welcome, Martha.
We should have said at the start, by the way, this podcast is sponsored by Big Soapy Bins for all your entertainment and hygiene needs.
From the sorting out your bees. Solved.
Dear Pappies, no mention of the esteemed guests, so thanks for that, Dan. long time listener, first time writer inner. Haven't spoken to my flatmate and wife, and this said... issue not improving. I feel like I should move to the next highest legal authority, you guys.
Absolutely.
My wife leaves socks everywhere. Everywhere. Occasionally, I go around, pick them up, put them in the washing basket. The last time I did, I counted no less than 15 individual socks in various places around the house. On the bookshelf, at the bottom of the stairs, beyond the sofa, in the bath. Basically, anywhere a sock... should be, but amazing. In the washing basket. Is she leaving them for me to find, like, I'm sorry, is she leaving them for me to find, like Dobby the house elf? Is she deliberately taunting me because she knows it makes me irrationally annoyed? I should mention that she's a pediatric A&E nurse who works all the way through lockdown. While she is amazing, I'm very proud of her. The least she could do instead of saving the lives of children is pick up her socks. Please mediate this for me and come up with a definitive answer. Lots of love, Dan.
Oh, it's going to be a soapy sock bin, isn't it?
Get him in the soapy sock bin, beef solved. And Paige, what have you got to add?
So I've got a very similar thing. Since I met Yanina, I cannot find a pair of matching socks in my house ever. And it drives me up the wall. And I would say I'm possibly part of the problem insofar as we're not the tidiest couple. And we try. We've put loads of systems in place. None of them have ever worked.
What kind of systems?
With being tidy and or the sock problem. But it drives me nuts.
What have been your systems, Joey, that you've put in place for tidying?
So we live with Yanina's sister, all three of us have got a place together, and we had a rota which was every Sunday one of us would clean the whole house, right?
Ooh,
and that worked. It did work. Mm. But we got too much stuff. We leave stuff everywhere all the time. But Yanina's sister is isolating at their girlfriend's, right? So me and Yanina have just been here on our own, and we just can't keep on top of it. We had a system where every day before dinner we would do like a 10-minute little rumble through the house, tidy stuff away. Just get for 10 minutes. Just tidy up for whatever you can get done in 10 minutes.
10 minutes, of course, the perfect amount of time to burn a pie.
Yeah,
they got so carried away with cleaning the house.
So busy cleaning the house. Exactly, we'd be eating a normal pie here.
Frambé bentos.
So, but that doesn't.
But also,
work.
Those chainmail
really
socks on there. Those chainmail socks on medieval night. Oh,
they're an absolute killer. Don't smell if you leave them after you've washed them, though. That's good.
But yeah, it doesn't matter how many sets of socks I buy. Can't find pairs, and I don't want to just wear black ones. You know me.
You're a flamboyant gentleman.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So a bit of peacocking going on in your life.
The only thing I thought was maybe I should go out and buy like 6 packets of like coloured socks, but the same packet 6 times, so that the probability of finding 2.
Now, Joey, I'm going to help you out here immediately. I'm going to change your life because I have a young daughter, little Cleo. She's 18 months. And the same thing was happening with gloves. And all you do is a little bit of elasticated string all the way through the duffel coats. Now, that's what you've got to do, Joey. You get your socks.
Through your trousers.
Up through the crotch, up through the crotch and back down the other leg. On a little bit. And you know what? Not only are you going to have matching socks, you're going to have a real spring in your step. You really are.
You're going to have like MC Hammer style trousers for all of you.
For the first half of that, Crosby, I thought you were putting forward your daughter for a job. I've got a daughter.
Have a sock goblin.
£5 an hour. She'll come round the house. Clean it all up.
You know, it's tough times. Everyone's got to earn their keep.
Once she's got the moss off my roof, I'll send her round.
Afterwards, she can go round to Jimmy's bar, have a few drinks.
Oh, yeah.
She's earned it. Relax of an evening.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But I guess the thing for Dan is it's slightly different, not to hijack Dan's problem, but it's like, just leaving stuff everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a different problem, isn't it? The finding the matching socks is one thing and infuriating, but at least you can find 2 socks, presumably in the wash basket or in the washing machine or in the sock drawer. You're not like, you know, looking on a shelf trying to find a book and there's a sock there waiting for you.
Socks feel like one of the funnest things that can be left around, though, right?
They're fun to ping off. Do you think she's kicking them off? Do you think she's like pulling them off and sort of kicking them with gay abandon? They're just landing all around the house on the yucca plant, stuff like that.
It feels more like a sign of like a fun personality, I think. Like if it was old mugs,
I'd
be like,
who are you calling old mugs?
He is a fun personality.
I don't mind old mugs, but if he's leaving his socks,
like, old mugs' socks absolutely honk. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, big
time! If they're leaving old mugs around, problems, but socks, you kind of like it's a bit of fun. You know what I mean?
I will say one thing though: of all the items of clothing, underwear are the ones you don't want to be picking someone else's up. right?
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the thing. Like if it was someone was leaving
Speak
their jumpers,
yourself, mate.
Even though you're all about you pick up your teeth, don't you? But no, it's if you've got like a somebody else's sock, you know, you want them to be doing the picking up of that, surely, right?
Something about stray socks.
I wonder why it's just like it doesn't sound like his wife is particularly untidy. It seems to be just the sock problem.
Maybe it's the abandoned.
Like, I leave everything everywhere. That's the problem.
Right. You're just generally messy.
With this, it's this seems like a very acute,
like a specific thing. Yeah.
Bit of fun though. Bit of fun, and I don't want to. It's not a soapy bin, right? But a couple of sock baskets, right?
Yeah.
What a couple of wicker efforts, one on the top floor, one on the bottom, on the ground floor. It's a lot of fun lobbing a sock into a bin.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like you
with
find
a little
sock,
backboard and like you know
up,
you can
exactly
get
yes. right.
Yeah. Oh, you get little sound effects.
And then the socks build up a little bit.
Oh, this is great.
He scores.
If throughout the whole week, if she's to get every single one in, gets a trip
to the bin,
to the phone party.
He's just phone.
I tell you what, I'll fill a bin full of Radox. We'll have a really great night of it.
If you get them all in, you go in feet first. If you get them all out, head first.
I can really see the big soapy bin now.
Making
guys.
It, yeah.
Just like all because glow sticks in it and like the water's horrible now. And oh, I can really visualise it. It's got socks in there now. Like, oh man.
I think
some
actually,
waffles.
I think it's a couple of potato waffles certainly floating around.
They're all right, waffles though. You just take them out, hang them up, they'll be fine.
Give them to old mugs.
So I think sock baskets, bit of fun.
Yeah,
off you go.
Yeah, I like that. Little sort of sock goals as well, just like walking down the hallway, sort of, you know, pink. Just little right foot into the top corner.
And also
that'll
for you, Joey.
Lockdown.
Yeah, definitely. And for you, Joey, that's how when you take both your socks off, ball them up together.
I know.
And then that way they're paired.
Mm. Yeah, but you can't wash them together, can you?
No, you know, give them a shake.
They'll end up in the same wash.
At least you're keeping them together in the early stages. Yeah. Fair enough.
I've got to say, Joe, because you've spoken about this before and I've noticed it, I thought that you weren't a big matching socks guy. I thought,
no,
oh,
I
God,
am.
I love
it
that.
Really,
but,
it
oh,
really
winds
me out.
Okay.
And then Yanina found out that someone said, oh, we thought you were doing that, Yanina, because you're a bit kooky. the non-matching socks.
Oh,
and they
dear.
Were furious about it. I hit the roof.
Oh, yeah, that's very you with the mismatched socks. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, thank you.
I want to be kooky, but on my terms. And I don't want people thinking things that are just me being untidy or affectations. Sorry, affectations.
There is something. Do you not find, though, Joe, when you see your wife wearing your socks, do you feel an affection to them? That's, you know, do you not feel like, oh, they're wearing a part of me and I like that? Or
listen, we've lived together for 5 years now. There's no such thing as Yanina's socks and my socks. They're all the same socks now.
That's beautiful, man.
I don't know who bought what.
That was a bit of your wedding speech, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was really gorgeous. Really beautiful. Nice.
The vows. They were his vows.
The vows.
Odd vows.
Really strange vows. It's mostly about socks. Really weird.
In gloves and in socks. It's supposed to be in sickness and in health, but we've... we're going a sort of more wear-based...
There wasn't a dry eye in the house, was there, when they were pushing those bins down the aisle? Oh.
So I think make it into a game, beef solved, absolutely.
Beef solved. Make it into a beef game, solved. Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Easy peasy. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having us. It's been great.
Total treat having you boys on. Tell us where we can hear more of you. You've got a new series of your podcast out.
We have.
Have we? Yeah.
Oh, you've really thrown them off with getting them to do their own promo here. They've got
blown it, mate. This is the bit. This is where we pretend we're like on Graham Norton or something.
I thought
like,
oh, yeah, did a really professional job. Yeah.
No, you, Tom, no, you did everything
really
right.
Job.
You did everything right. It's Jimmy and Joey. Don't know what the fuck's going on.
I know.
Is that Joe, the podcast?
Joe, you do it.
Hey, listen. Guys, we're desperate. We need. This is the last throw of the dice for this podcast. Series 3.
Don't say that.
I'm joking. No, so basically, it's me and Jimmy. We've been friends even longer than I've known the Pappies boys. We've been friends since school. And it's an album podcast where we basically get famous musicians on to talk about albums that they love.
Oh,
just have a lovely long chat with them.
And we've so the musicians choose the album that they want to talk about.
Yeah, totally, and it can be anything.
Yum. JJ's album club. It's kind of them kind of introducing us to something that's not their best, not their favourite album, but something that is like particularly meaningful or impactful, has like a good story attached. We've got Jason Williamson from Sleaford Mods.
Oh, we love Sleaford Mods.
Who was great. We've got Baxter Jewelry coming up in this new series, who was amazing.
Everything.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's proper good fun. Good guess. That's great.
Yeah, it's really good fun. Yeah.
You should promote it more confidently, boys. That sounds.
I know. It's
like,
really
it's the
good
three
fun.
Of us to listen to it.
It really didn't sound like a legitimate thing until the end there, where you said, "Look, we've got all these real musicians on it." It's like, "Oh, actually, it's a real podcast."
That's amazing. And tell us again. So it's called JJ's Album Club.
JJ's Album Club.
Well, we'll stick a link for it in the show notes to this
That'd
show, so
awesome.
people can find.
We'd
it.
Love to have some listeners that stick with us for 9 years and never come and bother us in the real world.
That is our fan base right there.
That'd be amazing. Ordering the mortarboards.
Well, thanks very much for doing the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely,
it's been really
a pleasure.
Fun. Thanks.
Brilliant. I'm just going to fill up this big soapy bin.
There you go. What a treat that was. Two magnificent guests. Please check out their podcast, JJ's Album Club. They have some awesome guests lined up. Bloody hell.
Yes.
How come they get guests like that? We need to up our guest ante. I want, like, you know.
Right, hold on. We've got some great guests.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Sorry.
We just had Joey and... You can't be like, how come we've got them as our fucking guests and they get good guests? That's not fair on them.
Oh, God. I didn't mean it like
what
that.
What a dick slap to the two lovely people who decided to spend an evening on Zoom with us.
I just mean, like, you know, at the end there when they busted out, oh, yeah, by the way. It's like, you know, when are we going to get, I don't know, Neil Young got a flat slam or some shit?
I
don't know.
I'll put the feelers out. I'll email Neil at neilyoung.net and see what happens. You never know. We might just catch him in a good mood.
Keep on rocking in the free net.
Is that his email? We should say as well, if you enjoyed listening to us chatting to Joey and to Jimmy, there is a bonus beef, a beef that isn't in the podcast. We solve a whole extra beef over on our Patreon, so that will be dropping.
It's a really funny one as well, isn't it?
Course.
It's a really good beef.
Yeah, it's a real doobie beef. It's really fun, and so you'll want to hear that. Get yourself over to our Patreon, patreon.com/pappiesflatshare, and if you pledge. I think it's £4.50 UK money, but $5 a month. Then you get that bonus beef plus 3 bonus episodes a week and loads of extras. And also our Flatshare Lockdown as well, which goes from strength to strength. We have a great time recording Flatshare Lockdown. It's really good fun.
It goes from strength to strength, makes it sound like it's getting better, guys.
Well, listen, Carrie Ann Lloyd enjoyed
it. It's really finding its feet. It took a while, but we're on our way.
Lloyd enjoyed it, but can't we get some better guests?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about
it. Please welcome Donovan.
Donovan? Okay, so I'd like to apologise to the two young people, a 25-year-old and a 19-year-old, who emailed in for this episode. We've done a joke about the... When Parry has to think of cool people, he thinks of Neil Young, who, I mean...
I mean, he's got Young in his
he's
name.
He's got Young in his name, but he's not a young man, is he? Older, you know, like...
Old Young.
Old. I mean, he sung about an old man when he was 24, but now he is an old man. And you think of Donovan as well. What the bloody hell are you thinking? Why, when they've got people like Nadine Shah, and you think, why can't we get cool people on? Like Donovan. Unbelievable. I mean, I'd love to have Donovan on, though. The questions we could ask him. Who are you for it would be the first one, I think.
Do you know what a podcast is? Donovan. What?
Yeah. But great to have you on the show, Donovan. But you don't by any chance have a comedian's email, because I've got to book the next episode, and we're really not. We've been burned by this, I'm afraid. No one's listened.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the show and you think you know somebody who might enjoy it as well,
Cariad Lloyd,
please throw it their way. Yeah, give us a word of mouth.
Email cariad@griefcast.com.
Sorry. come and join us for the next Flat Slam. It's going to be really great. Angela Barnes and Cariad Lloyd. Thanks for listening. The episode was produced, as ever, and late into the night, actually, because we forgot we had to record this episode.
Yeah, she's now got 90 it. Minutes to edit it before it goes out.
Quick story.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Time. We're running out of time, so quick story.
we booked to record the intro and outro for this episode this morning, Monday morning, because it's going out on the Tuesday. So we got down and we're like, right, here we go. Let's record the intro, outro. And then we suddenly realised we didn't have an actual episode to do the intro and outro for.
I went ashen faced and just started profusely apologising. I was like, because Parry was like, all right, what are we introing today? And I was like, oh no. We've come to record the actual episode.
So this episode was very nearly just an intro and an outro. So,
a reprieve. I mean, the way we're going on it basically is now. I think we've done more intro outro than we've done for the actual episode.
Well, it was produced by Emma Caution. Caution team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, class, settle down. Stop being disruptive. Let's start this off. I'm going to read the Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call. Please, no, put that away. Okay. Okay, let's get this register read nice and quick and nimble. Bimble, bimble. Present.
Okay. Present. Okay, stop being disruptive, everybody. Put that down. Every time, it's always the same. James, present.
Present. All right. Calm down, everyone. Calm down. Okay. Put that milk down, son. James Wilkinson.
Oh, present. Barely present today.
Okay. Just everybody calm it down for just 5 minutes, for God's sake, because let me tell you about some men that are needy.
Okay.
I don't like them. And we'll put that apple down, Matthew Ken. Present.
Yes. Okay. Well, if you could all just stop being disruptive, put that down, and I want to tell you a story about some men who are starving. And I do like them. I do like them. Harvey H.
Present. All right. Calm down, everyone. Pick that up. Come on. Put that back down. Let me tell you about someone needy. It's Michael Rumley. Present.
Present.
Oh, put that down. Stop putting that there.
Okay, pick that
up.
I
need to tell you. Listen, class, I need to tell you about some men and the terrible news is that they've got on a van. And the good news is I don't like them. Barry Donovan's present.
Barry Donovan's present. Oh, okay, settle down. Please settle down. Pick that up and put that down, and then put
Where?
The thing down that you picked. We'll put it on the on the shelf over there, please. Okay. No, good question. I did say put that down, and I didn't give you the specifications of where, but let's just say on the ledge. Speaking of ledges, I'd like to tell you about some men who are, you know, absolutely wonderful, and in them I take great solace. Nick Wallace, present.
Present. Oh, okay, okay. Everyone calm down. Pick everything up. Put it back down again. Move it around. Come on. You know the drill by now. Also, please, pick up those lizards. For goodness sake, Bill Richards.
Oh, present.
Oh, present.
Put that down. Stop doing that there. For God's sake, glance out the window. There's men working in the bean field. Oh, look at them harvesting those beans. We do like them. Oh, stop that, Alice Greenfield. Present.
Oh, present. Oh, let me tell you now. I'd like to tell you about a group of men, and they give me the horn. And one of them is Matthew Eborn. Present.
So let me tell you about another group of men who also give me the absolute horn. They give me all the bones. It's Scott Jones. Present.
Oh, present. Pick that up.
Sadly this man's a paedophile. Present.
Okay. Kyle. We can't say that. We can't. You know, this is a man who loves to smile. It's Kyle.
Oh, yes,
that's better,
sorry,
I think. Yes,
sorry.
There we go.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe absent.
Let me tell you now, I'm going to be leaving soon. I'm going to be leaving soon and taking with me my dear friend, put that down, Michael Stevenson.
Oh, dear. Oh,
Clarky.
Pick it up. Oh, sorry, everyone.
Clarky. Oh, no. Are you there, mate?
Oh, look. It's Cola. Present.
Oh, what a gift.
Listen,
this next one is.
Bad news, everyone. Some men have joined the National Front. Oh. And the bad news is I like them. Present again, Matt Brunt.
Okay, who's not a member of the National Front? We can't stress that enough.
Disclaimer.
I can tell you now that...
he likes to smile.
He's a big smiler, Matt Brunt. let me tell you now that someone here is following in the footsteps of Oswald Mosley. You know,
oh, no!
Yes.
And does she like to smile?
But it's don't worry, it's not this person. Present. Put that down. Pick it up. It's, of course, the wonderful smiler that is Amelia Worsley.
Present.
Well, present. You shouldn't have.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I'm afraid he was present, but he got swept out with the tide.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's Kieran McBride.
Present. Oh, no, present.
Put that down. Stop that there. This person's a racist.
No, Jesus Christ.
They smile when they go to the yard. It's Rose Goddard.
Okay, yes. Just to see.
Meant to say.
A present. We've got many festivals coming up over the next few months. So we've got the Easter Festival. Look forward to that. But most of all, we've got the Festival Comma Harvest. And it'll be organised this year. Put that down. Pick that up by Chris Jarvis. Oh, present.
Oh, my guys. Put them down. Put down all of your phones. It's Ian Jones.
Ian Jones.
Presents.
Oh,
Have fun, Barry.
Terrible news, everyone. Terrible news. Someone's been bringing their sled into the playground, and I've got to announce I've had to ban your luge. There are absolute rotters.
Well,
it's Remy van der Lugd. Pleasant.
Pleasant. Oh, let me just tell you now that everyone here has been incredibly present and incredibly pleasant. They're all the most wonderful people I've ever seen. But top of the tree, icing on the cake, cherry on top, is, of course, Linda Breen. Pleasant.
Every well, class, you're all pleasant and correct. Have a nice smile and be good today. That concludes today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Present.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.